Ready? Hello, everyone. It's March 15th, 2023, the Ides of March, and in compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice was posted on the Township Bulletin Board and website, distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. So after we stand for the flag salute, we're going to take a moment of silence for our first responders, frontline workers, and members of the military. So everybody, please rise. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Yeah, roll call, Karen.
Present.
Deputy Mayor McKee.
Here.
Mayor Kohler.
Here.
Committeeman Wender.
Here.
Committeeman Abe Apikowski.
Here.
Okay. First up, we have the presentation of the minutes, quite a few this time. The first is the minutes of the special, it was a joint meeting of the planning board, so I just wanted to point that out, and a special executive session meetings of February 7th, 2023. So any discussion on them? If not?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the special and special executive meeting session meetings of February 7th, 2023.
Okay. Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, next up are the minutes of the regular and executive session meetings of February 15th, 2023. Any discussion?
I'll make a motion to approve those minutes.
Okay.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Then we have the minutes of the special and executive session meetings of March 1st, 2023. Any discussion on those? If not, can I get a motion?
I'll make that motion to approve those minutes.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay. And with that, we have the minutes of the regular and executive session of meetings of March 1st, 2023.
I'll make a motion to approve both those sets of minutes.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay. At this time, we're going to open up to public comment for agenda items only. Can I get a motion to open a public comment?
I'll make that motion to open to public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Good
How
evening.
Are you today?
I'm good.
Sorry, I'm late. Life is crazy.
You don't have to.
Oh, don't
well, it's if you want to, Karen you can. It's well. It's not a requirement.
She put it in already, I'm sure, right?
Last 4 days.
There was a change in the law.
Anyway. I want to talk about a couple things, a lot of things, but I'll keep it short as much as I can. Heather Hill, I saw something in there in the executive session section. I know you probably can't talk too much about it. They're just trying to figure out from what it looked like, what might be going on, if we've exhausted all our options in light of maybe the original owner possibly purchasing it back, or if we're going to move forward with that and kind of discuss, you know, whether it's landlocked and can it become Green Acres, or is it something that, you know, where's the money coming from, that kind of stuff. If you guys can talk on that a little bit.
I don't know if you want. I'm going to punt over to you. There's
punt it.
Yeah, I can receive. not yet. We can't discuss it publicly.
Okay.
The short answer.
There's nothing you can say.
Other than I think the resolution was adopted and their 45-day appeal period started after the resolution adopted by the planning board.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing would be, I have a few things for public, but I'll wait for that. Just Littlebrook, I saw that was on there as well. Can you guys speak at all on that? Are we punting that back to this gentleman?
I'm going to punt back to him.
We brought that up a lot. We're all a little
confused. That's a potential litigation matter, so we have to discuss that as well.
You don't have to get yourself in trouble.
I won't get in trouble. I'm trying to keep us everybody out of trouble.
All right. Can I say something on the heels of that? And this may be something that has to come up during public, but I just want to say, like, it seems like the new trend here in Lebanon Township with all of our boards is potential litigation. We're opening ourselves. I just don't want it to be like where everybody gets sue happy and they think that any little thing that doesn't go their way, because that's like also a trend in the world right now. You know, any little thing that doesn't go their way, it becomes litigation. And, you know, I don't want that, because it kind of came up during the hearing where the planner said, oh, we don't want to open ourselves up to a potential litigation. Well, thanks. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what it seems like happening. It seems like every single time you guys get challenged on anything, people are like, well, if you don't do what I want, we're going to sue. And I don't appreciate that. You know, like, because, yeah, we have an insurance plan, but how long are we going to have that insurance plan if we keep getting sued about every little thing? So, all right. I think the rest of my stuff is for public comments. Later. That's open to everything. Thank you.
Okay.
Lori Hoffman. My only question is for you, Brian. It's a discussion that we're going to have on the grounds. Is there going to be decisions made?
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know.
Okay.
Any other public comment? Agenda items only? Seeing none, can I get a motion to close public comment?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Next up is Resolution 41-2023. If you recall at the last meeting, Karsten Janes, he resigned as the deputy OEM with regrets. He's moving. He can't fulfill the responsibilities. So Attorney Roselli wanted us to memorialize it in a resolution, and that's what we did. So any discussion on this resolution? It's pretty straightforward.
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution Number 41-2023 with regrets. Karsten James certainly was a strong individual with our fire department and rescue through the course of many years, and his livelihood takes him into a different area. So with regrets, I'll make that motion to approve.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Next up is Resolution 42-2023, budget transfers. Pretty straightforward, too, but any discussion on that?
I have none. I'll make a motion to approve the transfer resolution number 42-2023.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Okay, next up is Resolution 43-2023. This is an application for the Hunterdon County Historic Preservation Grant Funds. I guess, Lori, you're going to speak to this.
You have the grant in front of you.
I do.
So the softest are rotting. I don't know if you have a picture of it or not, but the softest are rotting. So we're going to get a grant from the Open Space, from the Hunterdon County Open Space Historical Grant. Repair it. That's basically it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put in for it.
You're going to get what he needs, or send it to Tom in writing.
Yes,
that you went out for the.
What I need too is for you to give me in writing authorization to for the state to be able to contact me. I have to submit that with our application. So what we have to do is, we're allowed to submit the grant to the county. We also have to submit to the state giving us permission to do the work on the building.
Okay.
So as long as the county knows that we submitted that application, the grant can move forward.
Okay, so what do you need from us, me?
So it just says allow me to be an authorized representative on this grant. It's written on, I'm sure I gave you the grant.
I have it in front of me, yeah.
Just this one?
No, I don't think I do. I don't have the little New Jersey sign on mine.
Okay, so Yeah, it says that you need, if the application is being submitted by an authorized representative on behalf of a public agency, written authorization from the public agency must be submitted with the application. So I have me as a contact person.
Okay.
So I just need something written, and I'll just send it with them.
I have a question there as well. I mean, as a contact person, I think it makes sense, but there was language that we authorized somebody to execute all agreements required to complete things. And I see, for example, on the application, it's got her personal email address and things. It just, in my experience, we've always had that be a township employee or a committee person, somebody who...
Right, the resolution referenced the mayor executing the documents with the county.
That
should be.
See, the only thing is on this state application.
Which, is that included in our package?
I didn't, no.
I don't have that.
I was going to say, we need copies of that.
Okay.
I have a...
Are we voting on this tonight?
Well, I didn't realize that this was part of this.
I handed this part of the packet in.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't realize it was part of this. But this is just requesting that they permit the work to be done on the building. It's not actually for the grant funds. It's
at the New Jersey.
Yeah.
Is that the DEP Historical Preservation End?
Yes.
Okay.
But again, this is has a personal email on it, and I think
this one has my
Oprah
email.
And for having continuity, so that in a couple of years the town has all the documents in place. I think it's much better to have a.
Can I send it to the historian email?
I don't see why not, but I also don't think I just don't think somebody outside of an employee or an elected official should be.
I don't disagree with that. I think it should be a township. It should be the mayor, frankly.
All right, then just give it to me.
So just so that I get when they're asking you questions, that I'll get the information.
Yeah.
Can I leave my phone number on there?
I think we just have to change two things: the email here and the personal phone number on this, correct?
That's what I'm saying.
And the name, maybe?
And the name.
It should be a township.
Stays with the mayor.
Right, it should be a township contact.
So who would be the contact?
Me.
Right.
Yeah. Township email.
So then your township phone number with the extension?
Yeah. 504.
I would use a township number. I mean.
Yeah, but what extension? That's what I'm saying.
504.
That other part, is that which I don't have.
She didn't know. Want me to show? Here, I can show it to you.
That's the state for historical preservation.
On the museum, because it's in the historic district, we have to apply to the state. So that's the application I'm submitting.
Well, this should have to be approved by resolution as well. That's the written authorization. Because it's a committee form of government, you wouldn't do that by letter.
Well, if I'm not putting my personal information, then I
Correct.
Don't need the authorization. I can just submit it. Well, what I'm asking for tonight is to be able to submit that form and the county grant. So Mike is saying I shouldn't have my personal information.
Right.
So I'll change that to Deb.
We're the one, the township's the one who's submitting the application.
Yes, it's coming from the township of Lebanon.
Right. Okay. So then this isn't needed. I haven't seen this.
Well, that is needed because we can't do any repairs to the museum unless we could do that application.
Okay.
They have to approve it first.
I have the letter from 98 that says they're in the historic district. So
right.
They have that.
So my point is, though, then the applicant here is the township. This is to authorize a third party.
Yes, so that would mean. So I'm going to change that to Bev.
Right. So then this would still have to be approved by resolution.
So that's
the status of that is 2 or 3 years ago, we filed a broader application for work on the historic building, and they keep it open for 5 years. This is updates into an existing application that was approved.
So I get to use the HP?
That number should work. I mean, this is why we try to get the stuff in before the meeting. This is the first I've heard of it either.
I submitted all these at the same time. And then there's a list of the answers.
Do these have to be submitted at the same time?
Yes.
because they're going to two different areas.
This should be submitted right away.
So it has been submitted to the state?
Yes.
I think the county grant makes reference to whether you've got approval from the state or whether it's
she said
submitted
that as
to
long
state
as this has been sent, then we can go for the grant.
Okay.
Okay.
When is the grant due?
March 31st.
Okay. And this is this resolution a form resolution that the county sent?
21st?
Yes.
30,
yes.
31st?
31st. We just filled in the blanks. So I went with Karen and filled in the blanks.
So do you have to get approval from the state before you can go ahead with the grant by March? So
no.
You don't have, you just have to submit it.
As long as we apply,
okay,
then we can go for the grant. But if we don't get approval, then we won't, they won't give us
approval
if they
from
approve
us.
The grant,
yeah, yeah.
They won't give us money without that.
Yeah, right. So you can apply, but if you don't get their permission at the state, you can't, right?
But in the past, when we did work on the museum, did we put this before the township committee for approval? Resolution or?
It was discussed in the committee. I don't remember whether we did resolution or motion.
I don't recall either.
It doesn't matter. I you know, the I'm anal. I'm just telling you, I'm anal.
Yeah.
Things get lost, right? Because now you have to go back and look at minutes. If there's a resolution, all you then need to do is check the resolution and then, and the backup, right?
Right?
That's why I'm so anal with. And you're a governmental entity. Any bodies act by way of formal resolution. And when you're authorizing the signature or there's a document, it should be memorialized by way of resolution, mm-hmm. not by oral votes.
Well, there's no mm-hmm. signature on
it. Can I
have I'm seeing that.
For the announcement for tomorrow's meeting, do we put other business that may be required?
I don't think so, no.
Could approve it and do it at the following
meeting.
Well,
I'll do that. If it needs to be submitted, approve the application like I've done before. We'll approve the application, mm-hmm. be
the
submitted.
Is after the deadline.
That's okay. We'll
yeah,
do it like
right.
we did last time.
Yeah.
No, approve it now and then do a resolution.
Right. Then I'll memorialize it the next meeting.
So even though it's after the deadline,
that's
that
okay.
That's fine.
At least there's going to be something written about, you know,
all right.
types of things. So this is going to have to be amended then, too, right?
Yes. I'm just going to. That'll be done tonight when I bring up.
So in conjunction mm-hmm. with the adoption of the resolution, when you follow that, Mayor, just take a voice vote on the motion to approve the submission of the application to the state in connection with the grant application, and we'll memorialize that at the next meeting.
All right. So will anybody make a motion to?
Well, can I first, what's the amount of the grant application, and will the painting be covered in that?
No.
Yes.
Yes. In the newer one, I believe that.
Grant total was $11,390. So the on the paint one, he added the state tax, and that we don't have to pay.
Oh, there's a new one.
That was the last minute thing because he's only doing a section in the back. Then we wouldn't be able to match the paint. He's going to do the whole front, the bed molding. So the whole front. But then if we pick that little section in the back, if we didn't match up the paint, it wouldn't look right. So we figured, he suggested John Van Ness to do the whole thing. After when I called and asked his opinion. And so he gave me this parentheses one. And we called the guy who did it, painted on the museum before in the past. But he's retired.
Was Warren involved with getting these quotes and
no.
deciding what needs to be done? So
well, Warren told me who gave the people to call.
But Warren wasn't part of discussing what needs to be repaired, replaced?
No, you had brought it to my attention. That's
no, I know it needs
started.
To be done. I just.
Yeah, so John Van Ness went and looked.
Okay.
That's where he came up with what has to be done.
This has been discussed over a period of time, though.
As I understand.
The repairs that are being done, so forth, right? Yeah.
So I saw a picture back from when we did the gutters.
When we did the roof and the gutters.
These holes. Like, I have a
better. Yeah. No, I know it needs to be done, and I'm all in favor of a grant. It's just, if I'm asked to vote on something, I just want to know what we're voting on. So.
Yeah, it's just the soft, it's going to be.
So it's the front?
It's that.
And part of the back.
Yeah, the one section
the
that's really bad.
What
so in the front, where that he saw where it was leaking. So I guess when he went that day, so he's saying that I think it's you. Even you agree that the slate, the way the slate goes, so it's going behind it.
On the corner, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. They're going behind the corner. So he's going to fix that, and he's going to. And what he says, whoever did the gutters, they put in molding that you put inside your house. So he's going to change it to the bed molding, which is supposed to be there, that's around the back. So he's replacing all the bed molding along and fascia board?
Yeah, the fascia board in the front. The bed molding is going to be duplicated to the historical or whatever bed molding's on there.
Yes.
The crown molding that was placed on there, which you're calling inside trim, will be removed, and the whole building will have a bed molding that's similar to what's on the
In the back, he's not doing all the bed molding.
He's going to repair the back.
He's going to repair it. So that's where the painting came in.
Right.
Because he's only
going to repair the hole on the side where the birds and everyone's getting in.
Yeah.
That's all listed in here when we went over it.
Yeah.
Because I went over that with you, what his quote was. We asked him a few questions because we didn't see everything that you had talked about on there. And he confirmed that those the fascia board in the front will be done. He'll have to make a knife to make this molding.
No, he's going to
matching.
Yes, he is. He's matching it so that it's.
He told me he was going to somebody else.
I don't want to use the word historically. It'll match whatever's up there now.
Yeah.
That molding will be the same.
And there are two or three different generations of molding on there.
Exactly.
So it'll be oldest.
Exactly.
And
whatever's
if you would,
the
it'll be.
Yes, it will be. It's a paint grade wood.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't specify the material. I'm going to assume that it's a clear pine. I'm just going to assume that, but he doesn't spec the wood in there.
But he does.
He's a qualified guy that's looked at it.
So this grant's only once a year, and the museum is the only building in our township that's eligible for the grant. So for next year, we're going to go for a bigger grant. And, Mike, one thing he commented about some electric wires, he said that they're in really a bad place from where they are in the building.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The overhead service wires?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at Mount Lebanon Church, we put the wires underneath the road, so he doesn't know if there's wires on the other side, but he said that's a solution to that problem.
Yeah.
But it is, he says it is a bad place. I know that Warren, over the years, has had to replace that light from the water coming over.
No.
Which we're hoping to fix that here. But still, the way the wires are, is a bad thing.
Yeah. Okay, so the motion is going to be to approve the application to the state DEP Historic Preservation Department and to submit the grant application to the county.
Motion to be approve the resolution.
And follow up with the
resolution. Approve the resolution. This is a resolution on the submission to the county. And approve the submission of the application to the state DEP.
Okay, so we're approving the resolution before we've made the resolution.
Yes, we're going to have to because he has to get a file.
The resolution for the county grant.
Okay.
That's 43-2023.
All right. Okay. All right.
And he has stated with the mayor designated to authorize to execute any documents, agreements with the county.
So is that who's
with all those different motions, I'll make the motion on 43 resolution 43-2020 as spoken and captured on the recording.
Thank God for the recording.
And
you're gonna put something in writing about that you went out.
Yeah, look, the other thing I just want to note before you vote, I'm sorry, I don't belabor this point, but just anytime you're going out to purchase and using a vendor, you have a QPA, so you're threshold for contracts is established at, I think it's $44,000 now. That being said, if a contract is going to be or vendor contract is going to be 15% of that amount, which amounts to $6,600, you have to obtain or try to obtain at least two quotes, if practical. That's what it says.
Right.
But you have to make the effort.
Mm-hmm.
If it's below that, you don't need the quotes. But if it's going to be above, you have to at least get. Seek two quotes, right? So obviously the soffit work exceeded it. So
but we're not approving the contracts tonight.
No, I get that, we just want
to
make. Well, you're submitting the application based upon the quotes, is my point.
Understood.
Right?
Understood.
So I just want to make sure it kind of makes sense. If you're going to do that, get the quotes then. At least you know it because you're going to depend on those quotes for your application, right? Anyway.
So I can just the next year when we're going to do this again, we could just submit it on a piece of paper to the committee. These are the people we contacted.
Yes.
Okay.
Very nice. All right. Show emails, whatever you have to show. This is who we reach out to. Here's our quotes. Boom. Here's our two quotes, three quotes, whatever you get. Okay. It's like anything else, right? It's competition.
We have a motion.
Right?
Yeah, we have a motion. Do we have? I thought we had a
that
second.
That motion covered the state,
yes.
The application.
Yes.
Well?
Yeah. It does.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And with that.
So
I'm
did
up.
Did you do a motion for this, too, or is that all?
Yeah, that was all part. That's the, yes, that's
okay.
The DEP.
Now, can I, when I correct all this, can I send this all to all of you, or should I send it to Karen first?
Send it to Karen and have her, she can send it out
She's
to the rest of
here.
Us.
I'm leaving on Friday, so. Or I can send it to Kim, whatever, or I can send it to you, Beth. You
well, I have to sign it, right?
No, I just... because you don't have this application.
Oh, okay. Just, yeah, send me the application.
So, and then you could send it to everyone else?
Yeah, I'll send it to the everybody.
Procedure manual that we have.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, with that, we're going to unfinished business, and I'm up first, which is the 100 ESC updated network computer hardware quotes. We had a meeting about our cybersecurity, and based on that meeting, we realized what we needed in the way of network and computer hardware at this point. So the revised quote actually came in a little cheaper. I don't know what happened, but some of the equipment was cheaper than it was back in September when we got the quote. And we're going to move forward, but just know that June starts the busy month with the ESC. So that's why it's important that we get this in the works. And we have to make decisions on laptops versus hardware for certain. You know, we know that the in the office maybe laptops, but PD and all that desktops. You know, we have to make some decisions about that. But the computers themselves, it's $50 difference to have a docking station and a laptop versus a desktop. So it's not a huge financial decision. It's more about who do you want to have a laptop and docking station versus hardware. So. I did a lot of calculations today on all this, and when you take the hardware and the setup costs, that's $33,336.12. This is if you're going to do all desktops. Then you need the licenses, the Microsoft 365, if you add that to it, and then there's a the emails, licenses for emails, if we want to give the volunteers some of the emails. There were like 60, I guess we had, because Liftoff is a reseller. So anyway, the bottom line comes to $39,816. Mm-hmm. Was that cutting it close? Mm. I'm getting all nervous and everything. I'm like, oh, my God. So... Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing is with this, we're going to own the hardware. So even though we have the quotes from CDW, we will – this is to answer your question, Tom. We will purchase the hardware ourselves. We already have some kind of an agreement with CDW so we can, you know, establish the PO. Now, as far as the labor for the setup, I talked to John at the ESC. He'll bill us as he does that. That'll be in addition to our monthly fees. So – really, I guess tonight, what we need is to just determine who's going to get laptops versus desktops.
Can we approve the umbrella dollar number? And
it could, yeah.
Let's do that.
I just don't want to wait too long to order it. That's the problem.
You should do it by
each employee.
We did it
by resolution.
Right. Look, it's a purchase, right? Yeah. You're authorizing a purchase. Now, ESC is a co-op, right, if I recall?
Yeah.
So you don't worry about the bidding stuff. But again, you know, let's put in a resolution.
Okay.
Let's certify the funds are available. Let's indicate the fact that you don't have to go out to bid because it's a co-op. And, you know, and then you can move forward with the purchase order and everything else.
Okay.
I just don't think it's good practice. I know it was done in the past, but I just don't think it's good practice. Only because again, it gets lost in the minutes.
Right. So do you want me to just? Should I attach all of these quotes, or should I lay?
No, just all I'll just need to know is what exactly you're buying and the
okay.
amount, and then I'll do the resolution.
Does it need to be like itemized to the? Because I have it itemized.
If you send me the quote, I'll attach the quote. Just send me the quote.
Yeah.
You, what I need.
It's in the package, but there's another part of it. I'll break it out. Right. I'll put a summary sheet for you. That's what I'll do. So that way you know what.
I mean, you guys can vote to decide, hey, you want to go forward based upon a quote and take that. But let's do a resolution authorizing the purchase upon the quote and just do it the next meeting. Right?
Okay. So somebody want to make that motion? Anybody? Any more discussion? Okay. Abe's going to make that motion.
I'll second that motion.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Brain work today. Okay. Oh, I'm up next again. So after that, we have the memorial policy, which I started last year, and we realized it was probably best that it's not just about the park. We started with the park because that's where memorials were, benches and things were going in the park, and we didn't want to have it look scattered all over the place, different designs. But then when we realized, okay, you have the library, you have the museum, you have open space. So it took a long time, and finally, I guess it was August, I got the final set of comments. And then I realized when I was looking at some of the EOSC comments that we really needed to kick it up a level and make it more of a it's not just about memorials. It's structural donations, beyond little benches and things like you might like the stage tonight, something like that. So I put an application on it. Eventually what we'd have to do is appoint a committee to review, subcommittee to review these applications. I don't know if you don't have to do that tonight, but really tonight it's more about the policy itself. And again, the only thing that came up today in the discussion is if something is going to be dedicated on township land, but it's to Friends of Memorial Park, that is, what are you going to have to put that in here too? If something's not going to the township.
Well, ultimately that donation comes to the township. Are we voting on this tonight?
It's been a year.
I know it's been 8 months since
yeah.
we've last discussed.
I mean,
I have a number of comments and issues. I don't know how much detail you want to go into tonight.
No, whatever you want to do.
I think we should.
Yeah, I mean, we got to get this thing done because it's coming paralysis by analysis. Yeah. It's just, you know.
Yep.
It's okay.
This would never fly in a corporation.
Okay. I didn't come prepared to wordsmith it.
Well, you had already wordsmithed it.
I'd given some comments, I think 8 months ago was the last time it came to us.
Yeah.
Some comments. I didn't go into final language then. To me, it still has a number of places where it places, I'll say, undue burden on the township. It still has, for example, that let's say a bench is destroyed, that we're supposed to attempt to locate the donor, send a notification letter.
Well, I put attempt. I know I didn't use it because I said I think we should attempt. That doesn't mean that's why I put that word in there this time.
I know, but raises the question to me, what qualifies as an attempt? Look around, no, we don't see it in the file.
Well, let me ask this question. Mark, if you have a bench and you were going to move it and it's got a plaque on it, and we do say in there, there's no guarantee that your donation isn't going to be moved or destroyed or whatever. Should we attempt to try to get a hold of the person? Are we legally obligated? That's the only reason I...
I mean, don't you start bringing legal obligations. These are donations.
Mm-hmm.
Can I jump in there? Because it's completely relevant. Mm-hmm. A good suggestion was made to me during this past week. If a bench has a plaque on it,
mm-hmm.
we could establish a place where we move plaques when the life of that
mm-hmm.
piece is done, or whether mm-hmm. we have to move a bench because we're now putting a path or a ball field or whatever, those plaques can then be lined up someplace. So we don't have a decision to throw them away.
Yeah.
They go on a wall.
Or give them back. Don't give them back. So in other words, this goes on.
How about the Pat Shriver stage?
For example. It could be on a wall. Wall there, a wall on the pavilion, a wall someplace, and mm-hmm. decide where they go to.
All right. Well, I don't mind taking it out if you don't think we... I just thought it...
And setting up escrows for maintenance?
Yeah.
That requires auditors to audit. Once you start setting up individual trust funds, it just seems like there's a fair amount of complexity that's in here.
Yeah.
And I think the key thing that we wanted to do was to direct our standing committees to come up with standards and a wish list, I think, is mm-hmm. of what they want. To me, that's understated in this, and then some of the mm-hmm. complexity is overstated. So
well, a lot of it is because I read articles on the road to hell is paved with good intentions. That's a part of it, you know.
Or donated benches.
Huh?
Or
but the thing is like, you know, like for example, the stage. What's going to happen when it maybe needs to, I don't know what kind of materials it, but it does it have to be resheathed or re-roofed, or whose responsibility does that become?
And I'm going to state that I'm actually working with a friend, so I'm not going to discuss the stage. I'll be mm-hmm. abstaining from that when it comes up. So mm-hmm. the stage is an example I don't want to give. But in general, for a larger item that the township accepts, I think the town has to decide if that's something the town wants and is willing to take the maintenance on, or if the town isn't willing to do some maintenance, then they probably should turn down donations. That's just, you know, I think that has to be evaluated case by case.
Or they just knock the item down.
I think this is really for benches and picnic tables and the sorts of things that a standing mm-hmm. committee could make a list of what do we need, what we don't. Mm-hmm. My recollection is, and I think it was actually 2 years ago that this came up,
mm-hmm.
someone wants to donate a bench to the park. The main issue is, are we running out of places for benches
right.
in the park?
Mm-hmm.
Do we want three different styles of benches, or do we want to tell somebody, if you want to donate a bench, here's the bench
mm-hmm.
that you can donate?
Right.
And I think...
Well, that hasn't... Yeah, we haven't gotten to that point. This is just an umbrella policy. It's not... Like, like the Lakota Wolf Preserve, for example, has benches that all match each other, and they're all...
Yep.
And they're in the materials that... You can't get hurt
exactly.
if you're on them.
Exactly.
It's
and
a
that's what I was asking if this was meant to be final yet, because that to me.
Well,
those
this
are the
is a this is a policy. This isn't like the tactics involved in how you would go about doing this. So, I mean, we could sit here and just hash it to death and just never have
Which
a policy.
Is what I didn't want to do.
Right. So it's you know it's up to you if you want to have a policy or not.
If it takes 8 months to bring it back, then I don't know what to do. I'm one member of this. If it were me, I would redraft it, and I would offer to redraft it and put it on the agenda again next meeting, not months from now.
How about you redraft it?
That's what I just offered.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't want to take out everything that's the meat of the policy.
Can you
decide?
Can you two work on that and send it, you know, back and you know to? You know what I'm saying? Before
yeah.
it comes here?
Happy to try to do that.
Okay.
I mean, these comments came out of all the different groups, so it's like it shouldn't
Understood.
Be just the two of us going back and forth, too.
Understood. However you'd like to do it.
Hmm? What? You going to work on it?
I just thought, however you'd like to do it.
Yeah, just mark it up the way you want. But I don't want to see. I don't want to see it all crossed out. You know what I mean? It's like.
I'm not. Because
then we're going to offer two versions.
On.
If that happens, we're going to offer two versions.
If the committee approves this one tonight, that's a committee decision. Do whatever, mm-hmm. wherever the committee goes. I'm just giving my opinion.
So, your points with this one is the type of benches, where the plaques could go. And I'm
Things
not right.
Like
I'm
that,
not,
not
right.
Specific to benches.
Yep. And what I don't see here is what we have coming up next is a larger project on this. And
yeah, it's
I don't
in
see
here.
It here.
It's
would
in
that
here.
Be a separate?
No, it's in here.
Well,
My
it is what it is.
That would be more of a case by case. Those mm-hmm. that's not going to come up.
Right. I agree.
Annually, that's going to come up every few
It
years.
Says for larger, more complex structures.
Yeah.
That's what I put in here. Because, yeah, I'm not going to say a stage. It's just
right.
there are a lot of... You could have the gazebo like we had
exactly.
out here in the front.
Exactly.
You guys have any comments?
Well, if you guys want to try to work it out, and like you said, maybe it'll be two different ones to vote on.
Maybe that's what we do. Yeah. Because once it's out there, if it's redlined, you don't want other groups saying, well, we had this concern and we had that concern, and now it's gone after I spent the year working with everybody.
Yep.
So it should be all of us deciding on what we're going to do.
Of course.
But take a shot at it.
Okay. You can email me the version that I can work on. I don't have the soft version.
Oh, okay. I'll email it to you. Word doc. All right. So up next is the request for final approval for the Pat Shriver Memorial Stage.
I'd like to make some comments on that.
I'm abstaining, so I'm just going
to
step back.
Glad to see there's some people here that knew Pat very well. Gloreen, I see you're in the audience. I think the stage is great. I love it. I like it to go through, but I'm concerned about the process that's before us here to properly honor Pat Shriver. I think she had high ethical standards. And I think, and going back also to some of the history between her and Jay, some of it was theater, of course, about not wanting the governing body to be spending money in the park. And that was, from my understanding, to try to avoid making items political. Supposedly, the rumor is we have a donor that's very political to the stage. And I believe Pat would, in fairness, want the power to go to the people and put this on a referendum for a vote.
What exactly are we putting on a referendum? I don't understand.
Well, this someone has to pay for the
stage. I know, but how did this get here without somebody coming up and telling us about it and answering all these questions?
Oh, yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
So who's going to present this?
Who's going to present it tonight?
Yeah.
The architect and parking there. So I want to make that statement opening up to give this governing body, the committee, some time to think about what I said. I think it's important. Tom, you've served with Pat. I've served with Pat. Take the time.
You start?
All right. Yeah, good.
I'm Eric Petrick. I'm at 7 Boulder Field Road.
Anthony Confortini, is it on?
Yeah,
no. Here we go.
I'm here from the Park Commission in town. I'm here to say that the Friends of Memorial Park has approached us with the plans for the stage, and the park has unanimously decided to move forward and accept the plans.
All this kind of happened, you know, we've been working on this, you guys know, since by 16, Pat passed away in 15. And, you know, we went through, we got to go ahead to you know, get the plans together. We had the volleyball courts moved to the front. Because that's the planned site for the stage. And then we just, you know, COVID hit. And then after that, during COVID is when we moved the volleyball courts. I'm just kind of giving you a timeline on how we got here. And what happened was, too, you know, we couldn't figure out how we were going to pay for this. Because, again, to your point, Brian, about Pat not wanting, township money and stuff going into the park. So we were trying to honor that. But the amount of money that this is going to take is just going to be, you know, tough. It's going to be tough. And then, you know, an anonymous donor came up. So, you know, that kind of solved that problem for us. We have commitments that they'll be followed through with, you know, if it goes over, you know, or whatever. And then when this came to light, that's when I contacted Mike, because Mike had worked with myself and Paul Spatz and Adam Ambielli in that whole moving the volleyball courts, which they did pro bono. They didn't charge anybody a cent. So that being done, we were just kind of sitting here. We didn't have the funding. And the next step was to get the funding, get a timeline, finalize the plans, and then pull the trigger and build the stage. we're ready to do that at this point.
So who's in charge of the funding?
It's an anonymous donor. Now, what the plan was Friends of Memorial Park would be accepting the donations. And then they would. That's what the park committee voted on last Monday. So Friends would be receiving the donations, and then paying. You know, they would have the contracts. I guess they would hold the permits, and then pay it out. Chris Brynolson is a local builder. He's going to be. We plan on him supervising it, taking care of the inspections and all that stuff. He's a very talented builder. He's been in the township for decades. You know, we got Freddie T. Meyer on board for the electrical. Rick Weiler in town is on board with it. So, you know, again, we're trying to keep as much as we can within the township. And, you know, we're doing it the way we were, you know, told to do it. And the way to keep it true to Pat. So, you know, that's kind of where we're at right now.
So just to clarify, there's no costs to the township?
No.
Correct.
No.
And all you're asking for is permission to put it on the Memorial Park land?
Yep. Except that donation of the stage, yeah.
And who will take care of the stage and the area?
Over time?
Somebody uses.
Well, Friends of Memorial Park is
going to be responsible for it.
Sure. Yes. Yeah, okay. They maintain the park. Okay. As far as I know, the only thing the township does is the dumpster and the grass and bathrooms, maybe.
I just want to get it all clarified.
Yeah, but no. I mean, like I said, to keep it true to, you know, Pat's tradition and her vision of it, it's covered.
Okay.
Who's going to be the gatekeeper to use the facility?
Kim?
Well, I would
probably
imagine it would work the same way as probably the pavilion. I mean, that would have to be worked out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that can be worked out. I don't have that answer.
So there's no donor strings attached that the donor gets first dibs or the donor is this?
No.
Cerebus at the gates of hell or whatever.
No, well, that wouldn't be true to Pat's vision. So, no.
Well, Pat would want transparency on who the donors is, too.
I mean, yes. I mean, we do need the money, but not in compromising the integrity of what we're trying to do. You know, this is for Pat. That's what we're doing. So, personally, I mean, if I had any sense of that, I don't... We wouldn't do it.
Well, I just don't. That's what I don't want to hear down the road. Is over my dead body, will this one use that stage or over? Because I've heard plenty with things. So
you know what? Things do get funny, but I don't get that feeling. And you know, is a lot of what we've done over the years really has, you know, it's done in good faith. And you know, I don't see that happening. I don't. And.
Well, and it's going to be in the way the contract is structured. You have a lot to say about this, I know.
Well, I don't, as much as I know, I mean, I have questions. So, if I could, just as an initial matter, it's a municipal park, right? Is it Green Acres funded at all?
Yeah.
Is it on Rossi? If it's on Rossi, then it's attached.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess one of the things is looking at the Green Acres regulations and ensuring under the Green Acres regulations that it's okay. Since it's a park, it's active recreation, so I'm sure it's going to be okay, but I think that box should be checked. Secondly, one of the things that I looked at, this 501c3, it's a not-for-profit. There's nothing in the code about Friends of the Park, but I guess historically they have a role with the park. Your code references the park committee. Actually, it says committees in one part, has council in another part, but it was set up as a committee, and it's an advisory committee. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, the way it's set up, though, the advisory committee, the town, when that was adopted, gave that advisory committee a lot of authority, including contracts and things like that. I just kind of found curious because it's advisory. That being said, ultimately, the township controls, because it's subject to township control, how its facilities are utilized. Whether or not whoever gives what, that's just the way it has to be, because it's township property. Township's liable. Somebody gets sued. They're not going to sue. You know, they might sue friends of the park, but I mean, they're coming against the town. They're filing a tort claim against the town if somebody falls off the stage, right? Mm-hmm. They're not going there. So, I mean, ultimately, the town, regardless of who maintains it, even if there's a third party who maintains it, I'm telling you, the township's ultimately responsible for any structure pride on its property. So I mean, those things have to be worked out. So, I mean, ultimately, those types of things have to be, it's township control, township owned, if it's a donation. Donations typically should be accepted by ordinance. The local lands and buildings law has a provision, talks about acquiring, and then the term acquire is broadly defined, including a donation. So ultimately, to the extent that the governing body were to go move forward, you would need an ordinance authorizing the acceptance of what it's being donated. And I guess in this instance, the donation would be the construction of the time materials for the construction of the stage, and ultimately accept that, whatever that is. The other issue is question whether or not, since it's on governmental property, is this something that would have to be publicly bid? Now, local public contracts law, interestingly enough, it defines a local entity, and it gives a definition of what constitutes a local entity. My research, and it's happened in another town that I did, it was a 501c3 not-for-profit, but they were building a library, actually, on township land, lease land. In that instance, because there was a lease specifically on the ground, they went out to bid. But the other issue is, and I don't think that the bidding requirements apply in this instance because it doesn't meet the definition under local public contracts law. But what I don't know, and this could affect the cost, is prevailing wage. Prevailing wage may apply. And if prevailing wage applies, the contractors have to pay prevailing wage. And prevailing wage law. So I don't know what that impact is because I don't know what the budget is. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get a definitive answer. And the reason why is that, in our, of course, our state legislature, when they write statutes, people don't think. When you look at the prevailing wage, it's under public works, right? So the definition of a public work under the statute says that public work typically is work that is construction, reconstruction, demolition, custom fabrication, repair work, including painting, decorating, done under contract, and it just says contract, for whole and part out of funds of the public body, right? Well, we're not using, it's been stated, we're not using work from there. But public work also means the same things. And again, it talks about whether or not the work is paid from public funds, if at the time of entering into of the contract, the property is owned by the public body. So in that instance, the property is owned by the public body. Now, the question is, what's contract mean, right? Does contract mean, does the public entity have to be a party to that or not? There is no answer in the statute itself, because the statute doesn't spell out whether or not that's the case. But it clearly says that if it's work being done on property that's owned by a public entity, the Prevailing Wage Act applies. And then with that, there are certain requirements. In addition to providing prevailing wage, and the contractors have to have their public works certification, which you have to make application to the state. And that in of itself used to be pretty easy. They changed the rules and regulations on public works registration now. They made it a lot more difficult. I don't know why, other than to collect a fee. That's the only thing I can think of.
What if the labor is all donated, though, or the material?
Again,
it doesn't matter?
The question becomes, there's work being done on public property, right? That's mm-hmm. the issue. That's the crux. And it talks about a contract, right? But ultimately, somebody's going to have a contract for the work being done, right? Mm-hmm. Materials have to be purchased, mm-hmm. At some point. I mean, if it was all, quote-unquote, donated, then why would the friends need to get any money, mm-hmm. Right? The work would just be donated. right? That whoever provides the supplies would eat it. Whoever's doing the work wouldn't get paid. That's a true donation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if I do pro bono legal work, I'll do the legal work, but I'm not sending a bill. If it was pro bono construction work, someone would do the work, and the carpenter wouldn't send a bill, the electrician wouldn't send a bill, the person who's using supplies wouldn't send a bill. They would just, you know, that's on me.
Well, that's, I mean, like, Rick, isn't Rick going to do, well, I'll talk to you guys. Rick, was going to do the roof the last time, right?
Right.
I think so. He would be donating his time to
right.
do.
Right. Well, we didn't that part, sure. But if that were the case, yeah. That, I mean, he had mentioned that. Chris isn't here tonight. Mm-hmm. Chris would have more answers, I guess.
So those are issues that you're going to have to look through to see. You know, look, I'm trying to get an answer. If in fact no public dollars are being utilized. And that's all they're looking at, then maybe it doesn't apply. But I don't know. I can't sit here and say, hey, you know, and that could impact if the Prevailing Wage Act applies, then there's all requirements with that, including, like I said, prevailing wage to the extent that work people are getting paid for the work they're being done. And then those contractors have to have a public works registration certificate that they have to get from the state, which is another process. And then there's certain language that has to be in the contracts by and between the parties, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's the friends and then whoever the ultimate contractors are. So that's something else that has to be vetted out that I think you need. Because ultimately, if in fact there's a problem, they're going to come against the township, and the township can get fined, right? I mean, that's just the way it works. And then I think ultimately then from the town's perspective, to the extent that you have these individuals coming in or you have an entity, I don't know how that relationship is going to be. If this 501c3 is going to go out and they're going to hire a GC and the GC is going to work with all these subs, you're going to have all these individuals coming on the township property. Mm-hmm. Township's going to want indemnification agreements, hold harmless agreements, going to want insurance certificates. I know it seems like a lot, but... I'm representing the township, and those are things.
That wouldn't be anything new for them.
It shouldn't be, right? So, I mean, anyone who's in the business gets that, right?
Chris assured us that.
Right. I'm just saying these are issues. I just know a little bit. I don't know a lot of it. I'm just thinking of issues, right? Issue spotter, and then probably to the extent that this work's being done once we figure out what it is, and I don't know the extent. I mean, I see a plan. It seems. Pretty large stage. I don't know. Well, you're a government entity. You can get away without site plan approval, but I don't know if there's any wetlands in the area. I don't know if anyone considered that or looked at that.
I think you took care of all that.
I don't know. I'm looking at this for the first time.
And you know what?
Right.
The park is already
going on for a while. I think all of that has been taken.
Okay. But that's something to be considered.
Yeah. The only thing that I'm concerned about is the
prevailing wage.
How do we get a definitive answer?
I'm trying to get a definitive answer.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm working on that.
Okay.
What, on the prevailing wage?
Yeah.
What do we do with the museum? When you put the bathroom on,
it wasn't prevailing wage. Oh. It was deemed as a donation of the finished product.
And I'm not going to rely on what was done in the past. I get because I'm here today because people are going to start saying, "Mr. Roselli." Mr. Roselli said, right? It's my reputation. So anyway, look, there's answers. We'll get answers. And once we get answers, then you know what you have to do. And then, you know, so you go from that perspective. So, there's just those issues out there. There should be able to resolve it. And then, you know, to the extent that you move forward, I would probably be a good idea for the town, the municipality, and I guess the friends of the park to have some type of agreement in place so, you know, all these things are understanding what's going to be done, exactly what's going to be done. Because we're not engaging I'll call the general contractor, right? Since they're going to do the work, I mean, who should apply for who should be the applicant on the permits, right? If the town's a permit, you probably waive fees. If the friends if the friends apply for the permits, I'm thinking out loud here, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, our plan is to have friends hold
Pull the permits.
Is that the construction office viewed it as for the benefit of the town?
Yeah, they could probably do well. So that's something just from a, that's structurally you can figure that out. You probably want to have some type of agreement in place so everybody knows what's being done, expectation of the timing, making sure the subs and GCs are all properly insured, township's names as additional insured, have all the contracts, subcontractors are signed, hold harmless agreements in addition to the insurance, and we'll go from there.
Well, the only thing is, in order to get there, we kind of need to,
we need to know.
Yeah, we need to know because... To get everybody on board with it, just to say, yeah, we might be able to build it. That's gonna
first question is whether or not it's prevailing wage.
Exactly.
Right?
That's
once the other things are mechanical, I can do those, right?
Yeah.
But to me, and of course, the prevailing wage will have an impact.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I need to know what that impact is so I can share it.
Correct. And then I think from my perspective, to the town, what the town wants to do, I would need to, information as. Who the subs are, who the potential, I'll call them subs, mm-hmm. Right? And then how that arrangement is. I mean, if they're getting paid, that's fine, but all the things that they need to do. Some of them might have. If they've done public work before, they may have their public work certification. I don't know. So you may want to ask at this point, because that will take care of that issue. Anyone who's intending on doing work, see if they have their public works certification. The law would, they just changed the law this last year. Where it was easy. Now they.
When can you answer the prevailing wage question?
Yeah,
I brought that to you.
I did. I've been doing. I've been reaching out. I reached out to the DCA.
Two more weeks or what?
What's that? 2 weeks.
A couple more weeks to get the answer.
Hopefully not. I mean, I have a contact at DOL. I've reached out to him. Sometimes these are needles. So I mean, the hope is that I'll have that answer shortly.
And who will you notify when there is an answer? Do we come back to the next meeting? How would that work?
I don't know. Who's going to be the – is there a municipal – who's going to be a municipal contact point person on this?
Well, you're a
– No, I can't.
Recused or
– Right.
Right.
Tom, I guess. So Parks. Who's he had the Parks? All right. I'll deal with Mr. McKee.
All right.
Since they have the architect here, do you want to discuss the plans or the present? Or
yeah. Sure.
Do you have an easel? You can see the plans?
There's an art easel in the back.
You can put it in front of me. It doesn't matter. They don't need to see my feet. That's right. They don't need to see me.
The board members have the plans.
Yeah, we have our plans, so I'll show that to the audience here.
I can introduce myself. My name is Ezio Palumbo. I'm a 30-year resident of the township. I have raised 3 children here in town. And over the years, obviously, we have utilized the park. So about 4 years ago, Eric contacted me. Unfortunately, I happen to be an architect, too. He contacted me and gave me the whole story, the story of Pat and their grand intentions here for the park. So, I was fascinated and impressed that they would dedicate that much of their time to the community. So with that said, I really couldn't walk away from it. So we went through various renditions. They explained what their intentions were. We finally came up with a very simple concept. I mean, cost was an issue. So with that in mind, we tried to simplify the project as much as possible. Very simply, the stage itself is a box, for lack of a better description, that is approximately 32 feet wide by 30 feet front to back. The construction type is a very simple concrete slab, continuous concrete footings around perimeter, and a slab, a large slab, and that's not for a for purpose of economics, and also it's something that's going to hold up over time. There's very little maintenance. If the maintenance component just was also an issue. I'll refer to the elevations in a moment, but the plan itself is very simple. We have the front portion of the box, the front quadrant given to the actual stage itself. That is approximately, let's see, 9, 10, approximately 16 feet in depth by the full length of 30 feet. On the rear side, there is a demising wall, which acts as a privacy wall for essentially a staging area for the artists, the entertainers. They can go back and sort of swap costume if it's a stage act, and just like the keep instruments in the back, and sort of a visual buffer. So they go back, prepare, and come out to the front end, the front section of the stage. To the rear quadrant, there is an enclosed storage area. That storage area is accessible from the stage surface itself and also from the back of the structure. The idea here is that they can house various props, maybe seating, things that might have to be utilized for various performances. And this area is very secure. We do have two windows, one on to the left and right. Those windows we anticipate being shatterproof glass, thinking about using hurricane-grade glazing to make it a little more teenage-resistant. Not proof, but resistant. The perimeter itself is made out of wood studs, and we're going to clad it in a pressure-treated 2x8 lumber. Again, something that is very decay-resistant and maintenance-sensitive. The superstructure itself is made out of these little boxes with X's. They are large timbers. Some of you may be familiar with timber frame barn construction. Well, this is effectively a timber frame structure. Our objective is to have some Amish timber framers that we have relationships with and I relayed their names to Eric. They're very proficient at these types of structures. They think of it as an erector set. They build it in the shop. They bring it out. They literally put these things up in 2 days, but they're beautiful, and they're mortised and tenon, so it's a beautiful structure to look at. Let me, if I may, show you the elevations. Does anybody have any questions regarding the floor plan in general? Okay, so I'll go to the elevations.
Well, I have a question. Mm-hmm. If water and rain blows in there in a storm, is the floor pitched or is there a drain or anything?
The slab is slightly pitched front to back, about 2 inches, almost like a garage slab.
Right, okay.
So that water will shed away. Okay. And the building itself is designed to get wet. It's a concrete slab, so it'll put up with a lot of storms.
Thank you.
The building itself it's just a very, very simple geometry. It's just a shed. Think of it as a big shed is all it is. The front, the stage portion of the portion of the building facing the audience is the highest part of the structure. And that is 17 feet, 6 inches off the slab. The building also sits on a slightly sloped site so that the rear of the building, the grade is almost at slab height. But as you come down the building, as the grade drops, we're going to have approximately a 30-inch elevation between the edge of the stage and the grade. So 30 inches is approximately the height of this table. And then the site continues to pitch slightly downhill as you move away from the stage. And then the idea is that two layers to the story. Firstly, by keeping it no more than 30 inches, you don't need a handrail by code, so there's no issue with people falling off and the legalities of somebody getting it.
There's always an issue when somebody falls.
We want to keep the attorneys at bay.
Then
as the slope gently slopes away, the audience is a little lower, so the performers have elevated as best that they can be. So that's that. And then the face of the wall, the foundation wall that's exposed, is going to be clad with a natural thin stone veneer. So it'll look like an old steel stone wall with this timber frame, a superstructure sitting on top of it. The building is, as I said, you have these posts that stick up, and they're braced with diagonal brackets. It's very common for timber frame construction. Then the back portion of the building is going to be clad, as I mentioned before, with a 2x8 vertical siding. And, my intent, at least my recommendation, is that they use a true 2x material, extra thick. Again, I worry about, what do we call them? In my house, we call them jabronis. Knucklehead kids that go in there. So we're trying to make it as resistant as possible. That's
so the stage floor is going to be cement.
The stage floor is cement. However, the perimeter, the outside perimeter edge, is going to be bluestone.
How are the acoustics with that? Has that been the acoustics while you're playing up their instruments with cement?
The acoustics, I think, what affects acoustics, the floor obviously does, but it's more the wall surfaces, and those are wood and tend to absorb sound. They could put reflective panels up, and again, I would leave that to the expertise of the musicians, but they do have acoustical reflective panels that they can install temporarily. But honestly, we haven't dealt into the acoustical detail. There haven't been acoustical engineers analyzing it. It's not a Broadway stage. It's not Carnegie Hall we're dealing with. It's a place where you're going to have local artists, some musicians hanging out, playing with people out in the field. I think there's the best intentions there. I think the acoustics will kind of work their way through it.
That's kind of like the boathouse right up in Washington at the Draft House. They have
exactly.
That stage out. That was the first stage I ever saw that. I said,
right.
This is probably what it's like.
But that back wall, that back privacy wall, will help reflect sound forward, and again, it's sort of wide open, so sound doesn't have a lot of obstructions or a lot of surfaces to bounce off of. I mean, think of a band playing in an open field. It's not going to be far-fetched from that kind of example. And then along the front, the top front, we have this little truss apparatus along the top edge. The thinking there is that sometimes they might want to hang a temporary sign, advertising the event. And again, we think it's just a very simple approach, a very simple structure. The roof is going to be a standing seam metal roof. So it kind of utilizes traditional agricultural building materials. We feel that it's a lacy enough structure. You have the timber frames that are exposed with the natural materials. I think it's a structure that will kind of sit nicely on site without being an oversized albatross visually. Mm. And we hope that most of you are looking positively on our exhibit here. Yes, sir.
So, you did a great job. I've been in the building business over 35 years. It looks like it just blends right in. It's something that belongs up there. Many things, safety with the 30-inch flat, depending where that is.
Exactly.
That type of thing, and that can be easily fixed with grade or whatever.
Yeah, that could be a problem. But the 30 inches really along the front edge, because as you go on the side, the grade tapers up.
Mm-hmm.
And one other thing, too, if I may, back up a little bit. Forgot to mention that we do have
on the right side, we do have an ADA ramp for handicap accessibility. And this ramp is going to empty close to, there's an existing walkway back there. So it gets us close to, that walkway may have to be, most likely will have to be extended, but it can very easily be adapted with the ADA access.
So is there lighting on here, or is this during the daytime, or?
Well,
yes. Something that's going to.
There is electrical service. There are poles on the westerly side, and our intent is to have the power brought down underground and feed into. There's an electric meter within the store. We show the meter here in this area, but you know that's sort of a pliable location. We'll see where it's best located within that storage room, and that'll be our meter panel, and we are. Going to put lighting. The lighting details have not been finalized yet. We're going to get some input from some performers and people in that line of business that maybe give us some guidelines.
In reference to the noise, there's ways to mitigate it if the structure acts as a focus point. Without and people complain or they're not, whatever it takes, there's ways to mitigate it with panels and things.
Panels and fabric, too, that could be utilized. I think we won't know until we have. Barring the Rolling Stones showing up here.
Never know. So the cost, I haven't heard cost, and I don't know who this time here is. So in terms of, 501c3 and the cost. They're doing a great job.
We've provided Eric with some names of vendors that I mentioned before, the Amish payment framers, payments and names. Put together some bids from some Mason contractors a few years ago. Those have to be revised, but I'm not involved in the execution of the project. They can deal with those contractors directly. They do have some numbers already in place.
Okay.
Eric?
Yeah, you know, it's such a range right now. I mean, when I was talking to Ezio a year and a half ago, prices were through the roof. So they come down. I mean, we got a range. It's a pretty broad range. You know, because we got to account for, going over. Things that we run into. Yeah, no, we anticipate that, but with the donor, we have a commitment. We went through a range, so yeah. So, I mean, first to know more about the numbers, we probably more to them. But, we had to get numbers for the donor. Something like that. Okay.
Do you have a range?
Yeah. Chris, when we started out. Chris actually got, he said roughly 150 to 200.
Oh, hold on. I can hear it
out right now. that's kind of what, that's our range. You know, we're hoping prices of material go down, but,
Lumber's come down, but.
Yeah.
Not sure where it was. And you still have windows and metal roofs.
Right.
Yeah.
Concrete. Prevailing wage, if that applies, could jack that figure up quite a bit. I just
on the labor side, I don't know what their labor costs are versus supplies.
What's the thickness of the concrete slab in its smallest point and in its thickest?
The slab is going to vary between 6 to 8 inches.
Okay. Is there any concern about just the with weather changes, is it sealed on top, and how do you manage the cracks that may form, and then you have musicians tripping on stage? And,
the slab is not excessively large. There will be control joints in the slab. Nothing's going to prevent what we call spidering, those little cracks, and that's just done. That's really thermal expansion. Those are going to happen no matter what. The slab does not need to be sealed, but it could be sealed, it could be epoxied. I think once you put a finish on it, then there's a maintenance component. So I think it looks better, I'm all for it. But I'll have to leave that up to upper echelon here to determine how they want to deal with that.
Above that, of the state where you said that you could have some kind of a sign regarding an event, would there not be a reason why you could not put the entire width of that stage area, the Pat Shriver Memorial stage?
I mean, they could, along the top edge, I imagine along the top edge you could do that. I mean, I would be inclined to put maybe a brass placket somewhere, something a little more discreet. I don't know if Pat would want her name.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, but if you're memorializing her anyway, you right here you have the township of Lebanon, it takes something. A quarter of that whole plaque.
I mean, we can have that discussion.
That's something that we would just. We just want to get this thing. We could sink a plaque next to it too. I mean,
there's a variety of ways to memorialize Pat.
Do a Pat.
I don't think if you choose to put some kind of a sign up, we can certainly do it. You can also. I just don't know where you put it. I mean, from front and center.
Yes.
Yeah. No, we're definitely gonna do something like that. But yeah, I mean, we'll decide that.
I want my big neon thing.
Yeah. Bronze statue.
We could find a place. We could find a hole for a plaque or a sign or something. I don't think that's gonna be.
Or even in the back of that back wall inside the stage.
Was there plaques or anything for donors or anything like that, or no? Was this going to be for Pat Shriver?
There really aren't donors.
Well, we could always add to it. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, Paul Spatz and Adam Ambielli. Yeah, I think we could do something for them. I mean, they moved the best of those courts. We can do all kinds. And people have given time, you know, and put in effort and stuff like that. So, I mean, when this gets done, we're going to have a serious sit-down and start thinking about who we need to
recognize.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. That's not going to be lost on us. Because, again, that wouldn't go with what Pat. You know, we got to think like Pat, and we all work with Pat, so we kind of know. It's almost like what we're packing.
Yeah,
so, yes, to that point, yes.
I'm truly a Johnny come lately. You guys moved the courts, but I have to ask. Once the stage is in place, how many feet before the drop off?
For the hill?
How far in front of that stage do we have to the basically when the hill starts?
I know this.
There's quite
a bit. This is all where the volleyball courts work.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of space.
There's nothing to face the hill.
100
feet?
No.
Yeah, no.
No, there's more than 100 feet.
It drops off from. I'm just going to give it a guess. If you're looking at 150 feet, it is a lot.
What I'm thinking
is because you can put it where the volleyball court was,
right.
But it's not parallel with the pavilion.
Don't lose control, Nick.
Not directly.
No, this is turning into a town hall.
Don't lose control. It's your meeting.
You know. So we're the ones that have to make the decision.
Correct. So take control.
Hey. We need to make the decisions up here, so.
I have been. It's a nice one. Nice and light.
Thank you so much.
You probably have it covered, but I was just curious. When the timbers come down to the grade of the concrete, before they hit the concrete, are they transferring back to like a concrete type of column?
There's
there's
a pin rod that comes up onto a steel plate, so the wood doesn't actually come in contact with the concrete. And I would recommend treating the bottom of that column, but it doesn't come in contact with the concrete. And we're going to use Doug Fir, which is fairly decay resistant. But again, I'm just going to ask the timber framers to treat the bottom edge of that column.
I have a similar structure, and before it hits the concrete, they put in a concrete column. So basically, the yellow southern yellow pine, I think it was like triple goes into like a concrete column.
Yeah, a little pedestal.
And it's flagged in. And then it goes into the concrete, and the concrete goes into the ground, so you don't have that issue of a potential rot situation.
Yeah, you can. That standoff looks a little unusual. I think we're going to handle it through a steel plate instead of the elevated. And also, as I mentioned before, that slab is slightly sloped. You're not worried about ponding water or anything. So it'll get wet, no question, but it'll dry out. So as long as wood is not kept constantly wet, it'll last a long, long time. Yes, sir.
You see the angle that slope is going to be from front to rear. You see the rear is going to have a storage area, but wouldn't it be better for the pavilion to open in the front, correct? So wouldn't it be better have the water, any water that comes in running towards the spectators rather than...
It does. I didn't make myself clear. I apologize. The slab within the storage area, which is completely covered, is...
Could we see it up here? We're not seeing it up here.
Oh, you have that in some kind of...
All right, so point to where you're...
Okay. This is the storage area.
Mm-hmm.
The slab within that storage area is flat, level. Mm-hmm. When you get out here where it's exposed to wind-driven rain, the slab slightly towards the audience. That make sense?
Yes.
He's got it pretty well.
So, yeah. To answer your
right.
question,
the
storage area is the concrete slab. The concrete slab is perfect and level. From this point out, you have a slight pitch, so it pitches towards the audience.
What was that overall dimension of the building?
The overall dimension is 32 feet left to right by 30 feet 1 inch front to back.
Thank you.
Build it and they shall come.
Yeah, that's good.
I'll need this. This is the 7th copy here.
Sure. So what do we...
So now, for going forward, we need to find the information on
the prevailing wage. Yeah, no, that was the only question I had. If for some reason you have prevailing wage applies, do we know that the donor will have the money to make up for that, or are we going to have to fundraise? Or are you going to just do parts of it, maybe not the landscaping, maybe do pavers?
If that's the case, mm-hmm. I don't know if...
It's going to go around at all.
Yeah. So the people who are going to do the work might be like, meh.
Hmm.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right.
That's why we're waiting.
Well... Mm. No, go ahead, I'm on it. Go ahead.
I was going to say...
Walking.
All right. Okay, so that's what we're going to move on and do, is move on to... You're going to do all the work. I took some notes here, too, so we can go back and forth on that.
Are we tabling this?
Well, it's not tabled. We're going to keep moving forward to get the answers to our questions. So... Okay. All right, so next up on the agenda is the buildings and grounds priorities discussion, and I'm going to turn it over to Brian.
I provided a list to the committee of many little projects, looking for to see if the committee has maybe some projects of their own that they think needs to be addressed. It's just some first glance obvious signs that things need to be done around the building here and such. The one item that I didn't have on here for the committee, for some reason I overlooked a big one, the municipal building main sign out front. I asked Cold Springs Landscaping to give us an estimate for two different designs for around that sign area. There's some continuation of stump grinding that needs to be done with the cherry trees, some trimming of the cherry trees. We're going to have a yearly spring cleanup soon. It's going to be shrub pruning, mulch, et cetera. One item that may get costly to address is the stormwater off the parking lot. Just washes right through the memorial garden area. Been talking with Warren about that a little bit and considering maybe coming up with some kind of a curb there, but there might be some blacktop needed also to push that water further past the memorial garden. Get a price on a bunch of different items. One would be replacing the entrance handrails, the missile building out here, having a mason look at the sidewalks for possible repairs. The two, I think there's only two lighted entryway posts out here that are in pretty bad shape. They probably should be replaced. We still have minute books and some other items that need to be cleaned from when we had issues downstairs. Warren was going to look into that at one point. I'll follow up with him. The library sign needs to be replaced. I have a material donation hand painter willing to do that. The main police sign material is already donated. Replacing the back steel door on the municipal building. Replacing some security doorknob locks as needed. Inspect the air ducts in the building somewhat because from what we know, they've never been cleaned. Improve the ice rink lighting. Warren, there is a big light out now for the parking lot where Warren thinks the power company can put up also another light on the back of the pole, lighting up the ice rink better. Plus, he has a bulb that's supposed to help with the other post that we have for that area. So I'm just kind of looking for some direction here on proceeding with some of these things, and if the committee has anything they may want to add to this, just trying to get something started here so we can get something accomplished.
Guess we'll know more tomorrow night. What's in the budget?
We'll know more tomorrow. Budget meeting tomorrow night.
You know what I would do, too? I don't. You know when you come into the entranceway?
Mm-hmm. And the front door.
Oh, the front door. Isn't that coming?
I don't know what's going on with that.
I think it was a June delivery forecast.
We should have a ribbon cutting when we get that door. It's been like 2 years. You know, it's like 3 years maybe. And now when I go to grab that door, it's like it feels like it's going to come out of the jams.
Yep.
So, but I was going to say that. What?
I am.
Over when you come into the driveway over here, I know Warren has snow sticks.
Right.
Can we do some kind of reflector because some
posts, like on the other side?
Well, the thing is somebody actually made a left and drove across right by where the cherry trees were and drove out and almost ran somebody over two times. So it's like it's hard to see that there a little bit. Maybe nothing expensive, but just a couple of reflector sticks.
Entrance reflectors?
I guess. I don't know. Something that people can see it because at night you can't see that driveway, I guess.
Put a sign, enter here.
It's also like multiple entrances after one another.
Well, yeah, because you have the squad building entrance, then you have that one. This one you're supposed to go out of.
I confess I've done it, but I got four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
It is hard to see.
So, all right. So, anything else?
No, I'm reaching out to the committee.
Well, we'll talk, I guess,
that's all we have is reflective signs.
All right. So, with that, we're going to go to new business. And Shannon Law made an offer to donate a police sign. And I think the one sign is already... It's downstairs, right? The arrow?
It's already on the wall.
Yeah. Is it in here? I don't know. Hi, Shannon Lall. Is this on? This is on or not. So I know that the police sign has been out for quite a while, and when Outreach Connection had a thrift store down in Califon, there was a young woodworker next to us who we approached to do the sign. I know at the time, I don't even know when that was, and he was young and upcoming and so did a very competitive bid to try to make his mark, you know, in the township. And I think this was before COVID. I honestly don't
was
know.
Was this the one when Mark was on? It was like July of 21.
Yeah, and
so
he then
had, that's
COVID
when we left
hit,
off.
COVID yeah. hit. He got shut down.
Yeah.
Then he kind of made it through that, came back, but then the fire codes in the township, there was a whole hubbub, and he went out of business. So the whole thing kind of got just in the nebulous, and I just said to Mark, why don't we just make the sign? Like, we'll just do it. And, you know, we have some design ideas. We've been making custom commissioned pieces for almost 30 years. And Steve Nicholson has, and we do woodworking and metalworking and fuse them all. We do have a side thing where we do that. It's not our full-time jobs. So, and honestly, I will forever feel indebted to the Lebanon Township Police because when my potbelly pig was walking down Bunville Road, they... Chief of Police Jack Gale got her and brought her home. So, hey, if I can repay the police for saving my potbelly pig, I'm all in. That only happens in Lebanon Township. So Steve Nicholson has been generous enough to say he would donate. He has some incredible slab wood, a slab of live edge black walnut that is amazing. On our machines, we would custom cut metal letters that are in uniform with the police style font, have those stand off the sign, and then do sort of a badge shape. And I did not put a lot of time into design because, Brian, I know you have your thoughts and plans, and I'm not going to spend hours and hours designing something if you're not even interested in the concept. Design work is a lot of time alone, let alone the actual build out. So if you like the concept, we'll go ahead and we will donate everything lock, stock, and barrel. We'll make it, do it, all of that. If it's not your concept, that's totally fine. We don't make signs up there like that. We can, but that's sort of my idea of stabbing myself with a spoon. So, you know, this is what just the, again, just the feel of it is, and we can play around with it, but I just did a very fast, like, kind of what we call a pencil sketch idea, if you want to look at it, that it would be black edge, live walnut. We actually held off offering this because we had machines coming for our studio that took forever to come in, finally came in. And we can alter any image off to the side, but we just...
Is this yours?
Idea. And we could do it in diamond plate. You know, our machine can cut steel, tile, glass, whatever I design, I can kind of have it cut. Our thought was we would do metal letters that stand off the black walnut, kind of give it a 3D effect, beautiful in the light, coat it. Whether we did the shield shape, you know, the badge, I actually went online, looked at the police chief's, or their badge shape. This emulates it. We could do a star. We could do something else. But this would be the idea that a cool live edge, which I think is kind of rustic, it's current with today's trends, and look beautiful. The lettering, we can choose that. And I would say there's a little bit of liberty when you're making something like this, depending on how the black walnut pops, whether we would do it in gray or white or a shadowed effect. But it would be this idea. If you want me to move forward, I will. If you have better ideas or different ideas and it's not cohesive, no harm, no foul. Then I got to maybe go buy Jack Gale a bottle of something. I don't know, for rescuing my pig. This is a bigger offer, and he's not here anymore. But so that's where we're at. And we did make the small police sign where the arrow was kind of off, and that was made out of cedar that I, again, designed, custom cut, sealed it, so thick so it'll last for hopefully decades and decades, and if it doesn't, I'm going to make you another one. So that, you know, even that we made with exterior in mind, something to pop. So that's the kind of work we do on stuff like that. We usually do a little more commissioned artsy-fartsy kind of stuff, but we can do this as well. And there was a need, and, you know, we sort of just felt, Brandon, you know, what happened, and we wanted to pick up the pieces. So that's it.
Yeah. Okay, because, yeah, I was thinking, so we probably, you're not, are you ready with your design? I don't know. I mean, we can.
Yeah.
We don't have to make decisions tonight. Yeah, I'm just saying we might want to.
Want me to hold up for everybody?
I would.
This is what the police and I spoke about. Basically, their patch in reflective material on stainless steel. That'll actually last forever. Right on the side of the building where your old one was over here.
This is what we approved last time. This is July of 2020. That was as far as it got. So, because what we had done here was we, when Mark was presenting it, I was looking at this and I said, geez, you know what? This might be structurally unsound if it's above the top. So then we all went with...
Yeah, and Brandon had a big old machine. It's a big CNC that he just kind of dumps it in. It cuts it. It routers it. He seal coats it. And done. That's just not what we do. We kind of pour our, you know, we're just a little more of an artistic approach to it. So it might not be what you want, and that's totally fine. And if it is, we'll do it all and we'll donate it all. And if it's not, that's okay too. And if you're, you know, if you're hell-bent on the township seal, we can do that. I can do that. I'll charge you $2 then, but I can do that. But, yeah, I mean, like, we can do that. If you go, hey, I really want the township seal somewhere on there so it's congruent with other, we'll do it. I'll make it out of wood. I'll engrave it, and I'll hand paint it again exterior. It'll be on there. That sign itself is not big. It's 52 inches by 31 inches. That's what we've got between the signposts. So it's not a real big sign. So when you start putting that on there, is going to get kind of small where people are going to go, what the heck is that, when they come up. But that's, you know, that depends on what you want. So, you know, that's...
Again, what these letters are made out of?
So we try really hard to do everything out of something salvaged because we just believe in the planet. I honestly can't tell you until I start working with the walnut, but it would be metal of some sort that's going to last through the years. Whether that's diamond plate, whether that's stainless, whether that's aluminum, you know, I literally root around in my massive stockpile of metal and go, this is going to look really nice with that black walnut, or I'm going to epoxy coat it so that it's in white because it needs to pop more. And we kind of work as it goes so that it's a beautiful finished product.
Now, the posts, are they still out there?
Yep.
They are. Yeah, okay, I have to go look at them. What are they made out of?
I don't know that.
They have to be replaced.
Oh, they have to be replaced, okay. Did you, now, because it's like we have two donors, it looks like here. Now, was yours, did you say something about the library sign, too, or was it?
Correct, yes.
All right.
It's on my list. Remember the library was in? Disclose that the sign.
Yeah, the sign was not.
So, Brian, is your sign being also 100% donated, or does it cost us something? Okay, then that's just it's not a thing about money, it's just preference. And doesn't hurt my feelings if it's not your preference. Like, honestly, that. And if there's another donor that, and I honestly, personally, I would go with whatever the police want. And if they really like their bad shape, and that's it, then do what they feel good about. That I think they deserve to feel proud when they drive in to see something that just kind of pumps their hearts a little bit. So whatever that is, do that. But I don't do that kind of work, so I can't offer it up.
No, we'll just sit on it for a while.
Totally fine.
Let me ask Brian, the sign, what's this black stuff?
That was the door that the picture was taken on.
So there's going to be two posts out there.
Going to be two posts.
And a sign.
Correct. Right,
So is there envisioning just this thing on something?
It's going to be on stainless steel.
So there'll be a stainless steel back.
But it can be painted any color.
And then this gets put onto that stainless steel back.
Correct.
And what's this made out of?
It's all reflective vinyl material.
Vinyl?
Yeah. Okay. Made for being outdoors.
Okay.
It'll pop out.
Do we have it? I mean, can we see any of this stuff? I mean, it's hard to visualize it, like, when you're talking about vinyl and everything. I mean, I know. You know what I'm saying? Like, do they have any, like, is there a place we could go look at?
Yeah, there's other That's police mine. Departments that do it that way.
Oh.
It's not public comment yet.
Yeah, you want to look at a piece of tape that is reflective?
Yeah. I'm going to get a bullhorn. Okay, so we'll just sit on it for a while because I think we have to...
have to noodle it.
Yeah, noodle it. That's a good word. Congratulations.
Shoot me an email. If you go, hey, move forward, I'll move forward. Mm-hmm. And if you go, we're going to go the other way, just shoot me an email and we're good.
Congratulations on your granddaughter, by the way.
Taking a lot of my time.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so with that, we go on to presentation of the vouchers.
Ready? I've got one, which is to Norm Goldberg, Incorporated Appraisers, for the amount of $2,100 for block 49, lot 72.
Okay. That's the only one. I have one here for the shared court with Township of Clinton for the first quarter, $6,525. I have another one for Barrow Reese Engineering. This was done with DPW in investigation of the bridge limitations, $1,690. The other one here is New Jersey Health Benefit Plan for active and retired benefits for health insurance, $55,494.69. It's for March 2023. The other one I have from before me is Bear Reese Engineering also, which is from last year. It's stormwater annual update, DOT grants and services rendered for $5,785. And I have B&B Press, Inc. This is for the spring newsletter. The and postage, $3,146.69. Lesko Environmental LLC. This is for the biennial monitoring of Station 1. And this is submitted to the NJDEP, $1,900. Last one I have is to Robbie Lynn Magabi. Might have said that wrong. Excuse me if I did. First quarter 2023 newsletter. $1,150.
Yeah, I have one for John Galena for the NAR Group lawsuit, $1,387.50. I have one for the statewide insurance fund for the workers' installment and the umbrella installment, $57,395.06. I've got one for the insurance deductible statewide insurance fund for the Nacarado versus Lebanon Township, $5,000. And I have one, another one for, no, that's it. That's it. The ones that are under over $1,000. So,
Republic Services, blanket PO, in the amount of $1,090.54. Another blanket PO, Patriotic Office Cleaning Company, $1,405 even. B&R Uniform, police badges, hat, wallets, the amount of $1,772.85. Griffith Allied Trucking, diesel DPW, $3,600.70. Blanket PO, Republic Services. There's three prices here. I didn't add them up. I didn't see this one. I don't have my phone, so I'll give the amounts, and you guys can add them if you want. You have $80.89, $80.89, $237.44, and $237.44.
What's the there's a total there, right?
No, it's not total. It's a blanket PO, so those are not included.
Oh, all right.
And I don't have my phone with me.
Okay.
None that apply.
Okay. So the total bill list for the period ending March 15th, 2023 is $165,597.03. Can I have a motion to approve the bill list?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. With that, we move on to correspondence, and we have the curator's report. I don't know if you want to...
I'm just going to highlight that March is Youth Art Month, and they're celebrating a display of artwork at Valley View and of Valley View and Woodglen students. And the Wild Muskinet Con celebrates the river's long and dynamic history. And this will be on display until Saturday, March 25th, at which time... Oh, excuse me. Until March 25th will be the Youth Art Month, and then the Wild Muskinet Con will be hung, which celebrates the river's long and dynamic history. So that should be interesting.
Okay. Next is the we have the EOSC January 2023 minutes. I don't know if you want to highlight anything in there. Okay. And then the historians, December 2022 and January 2023 meeting minutes. Anything you want to say, Lori? No.
I have nothing to add.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Okay. So with that, go into public comment for anything you want to talk about. So can I get a motion to open a public comment?
Pause for. So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Hi again. Just got a couple questions and then a couple things I wanted to talk about that aren't as important to some people, but I upset me. I wanted to know, he touched on something earlier. I don't know if you want to kick this back over there, but there was some discussion about how things under a certain price point or bid point get kind of pushed through the committee, if it needs to be one or two of you or all of you or what the situation is. Can I get a little more information on that again, if you can repeat what you said before?
I think he was talking about a QPA situation.
Yep.
I think that's what you were doing when we have a QPA. 44th. What was it?
I believe the bid threshold, as long as it was the township has to authorize that.
Yep.
I believe it's $44,000.
Yeah.
So that when you have a QPA and they have that authorization, then you don't have to go out and use public bidding for contracts that are below that amount.
Mm-hmm. Okay, like for instance, I know that we did some work around here. We were just talking about a lot of work, and I think it's important for us to keep this building standing, right? Mm-hmm. It's important. I know that we did some work on the conference room. I don't know if there were several of you who weren't even on the committee at the time. Mike, do you know anything about that, the conference room, how that was bid, or what the if there was like a line item for that, or if that was how that was set up?
Maintenance at the time.
What's that?
Came out of building maintenance at the time.
And that, so it wasn't any overage or anything like that. It was just kind of part of the CFO said, we're good. We have the surplus to do that.
We have a certified buildings and grounds supervisor, and it went through them.
Okay.
Do you remember how much that cost was, Mike?
I don't remember exactly.
Warren told me 9,000.
Yeah, I think when I looked, it was like around 9.
Mm.
Okay.
There was furniture at one point which never got purchased. So I don't,
well, he said.
Like a lot for the painting.
Well, he said the carpeting was the bulk of it. But, you know, they did some structural changes in
there. Was that bid out, or was that something because it was below, we just gave it to one person? Okay. The other thing, and I got to be careful what I say now, you know, with all these lawsuits. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Well, we'll shut you down if
I
you
know you. You will.
I'm ready.
I've got pages here. All right. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the police department. I find the police very important to me personally, but also I think to the community. Do we know? Is there an update on what's going on with the police department? I know that there was some discrepancy on how things played out a couple of years ago during COVID, and is there a resolution coming up for that? Are we fixing that?
I know that the you're, chief, you're working.
The chief was, yeah, I'm lobbing this to
you. What are we talking about?
Hmm?
Are you referring to the rules and regulations?
The rules and regulations?
No, this is the what happened last meeting where we were, I guess we were talking about when, I guess back in 2020, there were policies that got, and it ended up repealing parts of the ordinance that established the police department. I think that's, is that what
rules
you're talking about?
Rules and regulations.
Yeah, rules and regulations.
Yep. Well, the rules and regulations are in effect. So,
they're what?
They're in effect. Okay. They're in place.
I'm deaf, just so everyone's. Mm.
And so then we'll need to, how the Township Committee is going to adopt an ordinance, putting in place things that. That were right, inadvertently.
Right, it was an unintentional.
Inadvertently.
I hope so.
Yeah.
So then it'll, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it wasn't like a secret defund the police maneuver or something.
No, it's not, it had nothing to do with that. It just that section.
It was right around that time. We got to be careful, right?
Yeah.
But so is that all fixed now, or are we still kind of?
No. It'll be fixed.
It will be fixed. Do you have an idea of a timeline for that?
Next meeting, the ordinance will be prepared for introduction.
Okay. And then about what Chief was discussing, the changes he wanted to make that kind of brought all this stuff to light, is that all going to be also in that next meeting?
You're talking about detective and lieutenant. Not that we're hiring.
I'm not worried about that.
It's being put back into...
Correct.
You know,
is that also going to happen next meeting, or is that just
going to... Well, that'll be part of that ordinance.
Okay.
It's going to be introduced.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready with your gavel here. I'm still a little concerned about this Heather Hill situation. I think that it was – I just want to understand kind of where we're at. And I know it's an executive session thing and all that, and I'm not – I don't – I'm a little tight about executive sessions as they are. And just in general, I feel like anything we don't want to talk about, we sneak into an executive session. You guys do what you want to do, and, you know, yeah, I want to make sure none of that's happening.
You can't do that because there are basically – what is it? 9 categories.
I understand. I know how it works. I've been learning how it works. I said, yeah. I shouldn't say I know how it works. I've been learning how it works. Yeah. So what I'm trying to understand is, just for my education, as, again, I'm trying to be a student of this, the issue with Heather Hill that we had, it came to the planning board. It was crazy that Josh Rich was on the planning board, and he's like, excuse me, I am actually one of the people. They're not all, gone. And it got understood, and again, there's several of you on that board. It got understood that it was something that we wanted to uphold and yada, yada. I thought that there was some discussion in that room about Mr. Orff possibly purchasing that land, and now that's I'm just saying that's not what it looks like on the agenda, and that's what concerns me. It just looks like potential land acquisition is pretty cut and dry. It's not something you guys have to really. I know there's litigation, but it, what's the end result for that? You know what I mean? Like, I can't use that land if it's acquired for Green Acres. Can we even use Green Acres? Let me ask a general question. Mike, you know the most, I think, about this on this board. Mm. If it's a landlocked parcel that's not attached to any other Green Acres and is on a private road, and there's already, and I'm not sure if that gentleman's here, the gentleman whose land, when you drive into that road, he has, like, don't drive on my property or I'll shoot you kind of signs. If that's all what's happening, how do we get on that land? If the town were to purchase land like that, is it worthless to us all? Do we just purchase it out of our budget and then it's worthless? Not talking about Heather Hill. I'm talking about in general.
If Green Acres money is used, public access is required.
It's required, right.
Okay, so if Green Acres acts, then it seems like in a scenario, again, not Heather Hill, a fictional piece of land just like it, if that Green Acres is off the table and we were to acquire it, it needs to then, I believe, come from taxpayer funds, does it not?
I think it's all too preliminary.
Yeah,
to
we can.
As far as specifically, I mean,
I'm not talking about Heather Hill. I'm talking.
You have
about
an open space tax, right? I think
yeah,
you
we
do.
Have an open
well,
space
yeah,
tax.
Yeah, open right. space.
Okay.
Yeah, open right. space tax.
Just want to make sure I'm not paying for some land that couldn't be, you know, conveyed because of some.
But that's why you have to be specific about this. The open space tax is paid by the taxpayers,
right.
But it's not part of the general budget and the overall appropriations that we'll be discussing tomorrow. So it's
okay.
And all right. Green Acres, of course, is paid by residents as
I
well.
I understand that.
All right, all the taxes.
Back, so it's
I mean, we pay a lot of taxes in this state. I just want to make sure it's appropriated properly and not kind of just thrown haphazardly to avoid one of what seems to be down the line and currently many lawsuits that we're having, you know, and it's just, I just don't want to be throwing money at things just to
avoid. But they're saying
avoid.
You spend money for open space. Inner taxes is an open space money for what's on council.
I'm asking them, buddy.
That money could be used for that.
I understand that, but my point is, don't put that gavel yet. My point is, I want to make sure that we're doing what's right and that we're suggesting other options to these people because I don't want to say who and on this thing.
We'll take that under consideration.
Yes, we'll take that under advisement.
You should.
Yeah.
You should.
Okay. Anybody else?
Oh, I agree.
I'm Lori Hoffman. Now, if tomorrow you're doing budget hearing, is there a way to look at that budget before tomorrow? Or is this so just how you, before
right, you put don't,
together?
You're it's a workshop, right?
It's deliberate.
It's a workshop.
Yeah.
A draft document.
But it's a workshop you have tomorrow, right?
Workshop. Yeah.
So none of that information we can see what you're going to see, because we're only, whatever we hear you talk about is the only information we're able.
Right, it's a workshop, so they're working through the budget. So it doesn't become a public document until they introduce the budget.
Right. How we grind our sausage
right.
to get to
yeah,
where
but
we
then
need
by the time we get to look at it, it's already ground.
Made into a patty.
Kind of how it works. Yeah.
Roadkill.
Yeah.
Another thing. So tonight a few people came before this board to volunteer their services. I spent a lot of time on that grant. The museum is the only building in this town that can receive grant money to be worked on. Work's been done on it before without grant money. We're in a tight budget. And I just don't see committee here being very excited about having the public volunteer their time and effort. On the park, as I understand it, so I was at the meetings when they were, it was like the NAR group, the park, when we were going to have a park. It was a big division in the town. But as I understood it, and I think is still true to now, is Friends of the Memorial Park was established, the nonprofit, to run the park. And I think that should have been in when they developed, gave them permission, whenever, I don't know, ordinance or however, whenever they made that thing that they could move forward for it, and they had to do it all with their own money, no township money is. And I don't believe to this day that township money is being done, because I understand, as if I'm understanding this correctly, is the township is receiving the rent. When there's rental of the park, the township's receiving that. And I thought that was in exchange for maintenance in the park, like daily maintenance, is that the garbage, the bathrooms, I think just cutting the grass.
As far as it can go, what we collect.
Yes.
And during the pandemic, there was very little collections. So what I'm saying is, you're right what you're saying. The fee structure puts it into the trust fund. Trust fund uses that to do certain things at the park to maintain. Sometimes there's not enough in that trust fund where there's help needed by buildings and grounds, a small bit. We try to live up to the expectations of no taxpayers' money as best we can at the park. But to keep it somewhat solvent at times, we need, the park needs a little help.
But at times, but I think what I'm trying to explain is the structure of it, is that, so this nonprofit has to raise money anytime they want to do anything in that park, put the pavilion in, put the bathrooms in, they moved the thing. It was always the money they had to raise. So why is this different? If someone donating money, it doesn't matter if they raised it, it's still a donation. People have donated money into this fund for the stage. Why is this different than anything they did before? Like, it's become real complicated. If money,
just because, can I address this?
Yeah.
Just because things were done doesn't mean it was done right, right? The idea is to do it correctly. So the fact is that there are certain laws that need to be followed, right? And when it comes to public lands, those laws need to be followed. So my job is, as an attorney, is to ensure that the township doesn't run afoul of those laws. So that's not a matter of complication. Just like I asked you, did you get two quotes?
Mm-hmm.
The law, I'm sure no one ever told you need to get two quotes.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
So you need to get two quotes, right?
Yeah.
Not because it's difficult, because that's what the law requires, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to be difficult. I'm here to make sure the town doesn't get in trouble. Because that's my job, right? So there's certain requirements, and when you're dealing with public entities, it's not the same. I don't care if 501c3, I don't care if it's donations. There's certain requirements that have to occur, and depending on what the donation is, there's certain procedures that have to be followed. For instance, an ordinance being adopted to accept those types of things, right? So it's just a matter of process. Just like I say to council, get township committee, adopt a resolution authorizing this action. There's a process, there's a procedure, and it's very important as a governmental entity to follow those processes and procedures, because if you don't, you end up saying, what happened? And when you have it in writing and when it's documented, you can stop all the lawsuits that he's complaining about that we're trying to stop, so we don't have them, right? That's the idea.
This park's been through years. We've had several. We have multiple attorneys.
That's okay. I can't speak for multiple attorneys. I can only speak for what I know, and what I believe is the right thing for the town, and that's what I'm going to stick on, because I know I'm right. right? I'll put up my knowledge against any attorney in this state, and I'm not trying to brag. I do my work. I make sure I don't want anyone to get in trouble. I don't want governmental entities to be in trouble. I sat where all these guys sat. I was a mayor. I ran a town for 9 years. I'm not doing it on my own. I know what it takes, and I don't want anybody to get in trouble, right? To protect you, them, and to protect the residents. Because ultimately, if something goes awry and the town's penalized, who's going to pay for it? Taxpayers, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So it's a matter of getting it right? So everybody's protected. So now I'll make it difficult. That's my job. No, and I'll never apologize. And I'll never apologize for doing my job, ever.
But I don't see where the difference of who's donating, if it's not.
I'm not going to try to explain to you. I explained it. It's the law and what the law requires.
Well, you were explaining when the park. You're saying that anyone that donates money to the 503C has to.
501C3.
Do they have to then open up those donations if because it's county township?
I didn't talk anything about the donations.
I thought that was what you were saying.
I did not discuss donations. I'm talking about the fact that work is being done on public land. And when work is being done on public land, there are certain requirements that need to be followed. The fact that the work is being done by an entity for which who's receiving funds, that may not matter. That's the point. That still may require certain laws to be followed, and I want to ensure that those laws are followed. That's what I'm doing.
Well, what you were saying before, I misunderstood. I thought it means that they need to open up and tell you who's giving this money.
I didn't say anything about donations, so if you can listen, that's exactly. It had nothing to do with donations.
But I still think that you have so few people volunteering for committees that you should appreciate it.
I think we do appreciate it. I'm not sure why you think we don't appreciate it.
These are continuing discussions. You know, Shannon just came in here, and I know that was hard for her to come in here and offer that service, and you just told her.
No, we didn't. We didn't tell her that.
We tabled it for, you know, we can't make a decision
tonight.
First
time we saw it. We're not going to make a decision right now.
Well, there's a history behind it, too. Well, first, I want to thank this committee for choosing who you did for our attorney, because I think he's wonderful.
You're going to get a swell head.
No, I'm married. I'm never going to get a swell head.
Don't put that single door in until his head is shrunk.
Scratching it 3 feet away.
Second, when you were talking about memorializing anything and you were saying put a bench in or so, it has somebody's name on it or so, and if it wears out, you might remove it. I just want to bring to your attention, and this is very small compared to what I read in a newspaper last week, but there is a family who donated a building, a law building, at the University of Richmond years ago. And being what it is with the woke group today, they want to remove that person's name from that building because he had slaves. Now that family is suing the University of Richmond for $1.5 million. So you have to remember that if you're going to remove somebody that memorialized a plaque or what have you, just keep in mind that you better have something in writing that there's no lawsuit.
Well, that was part of all the details that I had in the memorial policy, because people have to sign off that they read this policy. And I even had in there, if there's controversy, it's up to the committee.
That's great.
Everything's up to the committee. There's no guarantees with future.
Right.
You know,
that's great. Thank you.
In keeping with the lawsuit theme we have going on here tonight, can we get any update on the VA? I mean, is she suing the town as well? I mean, we haven't heard.
Well, we're not going to talk about litigation. The only thing I could say is that because a tort claim was filed, right? So a tort claim.
That means a lawsuit may be coming.
Right.
Maybe.
No, a tort claim is saying.
Is a notice.
You're on notice.
Right, it's a notice. And then any individual who files a tort claim notice, because it's.
Is there a statute of limitations to that?
There is. 2 years. But you have a tort versus a contract, right? Think of it this way. I'll give a quick law course, torts, if you fall, you get personal injury, trip and fall, that's a tort. Contract is just contract. So under municipal law, that under not just municipality, states as well, if someone believes that they have a suit under tort, they have to, within 90 days of knowing or having knowledge that the tort occurred, have to file a notice with the governmental entity saying, hey, I believe I have a claim. And then they have 2 years from the date that the tort allegedly occurred to file the lawsuit. So the tort claim was filed.
So we'll know nothing for possibly 2 years.
Possibly. The outside date.
The outside.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Tort, got it.
T-O-R-T, tort. Not tart that you eat, tort.
Making me hungry, I know.
Blueberry popcorn.
Yeah.
Thank you for, thank our attorney for keeping the process going and straightening things out, and hopefully that will work out. The police sign, before I interrupted you, the police sign, you can see them in many other municipalities, especially larger ones, that use their badge and basically have a vinyl emblem.
Mm-hmm.
No different than the ones that you may see on a car.
Yeah, it's like the state police.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. They're reflective, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of police departments, that's very popular to go with something like that. But like I said, it's very important to do, you know, what's good for how they feel also, police department. I have a guy, I know a guy about these cell towers, and we're getting drop calls, and it's just gotten worse and worse and worse. And it's gotten worse since the other cell towers have been, the other cell antennas have been put on by other carriers.
Are the Vincent still on?
Yeah.
They replaced them.
Yeah. Well, no, it's got, well, at least Verizon, it's gotten worse.
Because they replaced them.
Yeah. It's gotten worse, and it also has to do with, some of it has to do with capacity issues with the cable, with the fiber optics or cable coming in, so. I don't know if there's any. We have lease. The town has leases with all these cell towers and all these providers and stuff. So I don't know if these concerns, because I'm sure all of us are having them. If the town can do a resolution or memorialize something and send it to these entities that we have contracts with and stuff, and making them aware that there's problems.
Yeah, where are you seeing it in certain areas versus other areas? Because did we ever put those nodes in?
No.
That never happened like 5 years ago.
It's gotten worse and worse and worse.
They were on over in Tewksbury in 517.
Now, on Wood Glen Road, and in the town, if you call your carrier and complain, you can probably get a free extender, repeater extender type thing. And if everybody starts doing that, maybe they're going to take more action. I have somebody right on Wood Glen, and they called Verizon, and they provided them with a free extender because they said they're in an area of problems.
Yep.
And the antenna's right here. It's right over there. It's like, what's going on here?
When I moved in, I had no service.
I don't understand. So something's wrong. And I don't know. I would encourage you to, a letter can be drafted and sent to these who we have all the contracts with, and then between that and the public and everything else, we take some kind of action there.
Mm-hmm.
My friend has an inside loop with the actual contractors and stuff. They have ran some tests, but there's issues that they got to continue with. You know, they got to connect the dots.
Mm-hmm. Save Lebanon Township. There's a new use for Save Lebanon.
Well, there's a lot of uses.
Wow.
There's a lot of
call. We'll all call and get the,
yeah, there's information out there. Putting that. All right, two other items is I have a bill here from who's this from? Barry Reese Engineering for $11,000. And on a bill is $4,000 for NJDP wetland identification, another one for a survey for $3,500, and a development under Component 2 used to develop a plan to improve stormwater management at Bunville Library. This is all part of the same bill. In the bill, it says it's paid up to a certain date.
number one. Number two, it's for future improvements to the parking lot of the library. Now, since I've lived here for close to 20 years or over or whatever it is, I've never seen that parking lot over capacity. Over capacity, you know, too many cars there and stuff. And if they did have it once a year, they can, I'm sure, can ask the church for that space. So, number one, is there any more bills after this billing cycle? Number two, when did it ever come up that we need to expand the library parking lot?
Does it say expand?
Is this done and over with?
Does it say expand?
Yeah, for future expansion.
In order to qualify for the wetlands permit, it had to be related to a potential project. Right. There's no plan to expand the parking lot.
We're trying to get a grant. A couple times we tried a grant.
Yeah, this was. I drive now. I got to drive past there and just shake my head every time and say $11,000 wasted taxpayers' money for something that you would actually develop and put in is a retention basin, and that's what this is. So whether it's natural, however it happened, I don't know.
The Highlands grant paid for it, but as
it's still taxpayer money.
No doubt about that. And as we said, when that bill was approved, it was because residents put the township on notice that they believed that that was wetland. So then we were required to go through the DEP process to satisfy all the wetlands issues.
You could have done the old, I'll take it under advisement. But I'm sure our engineer, our new engineer.
Our prior attorney even kept us out of trouble on that as well.
Yeah, so.
I was going to fill it in.
Yeah. Could have made it a big flower pot. All right, moving on. It's been brought to my attention that the Highlands has a grant out there to study warehousing in the Highlands. Now, we may or may not, I'm not an expert in Lebanon Township if we have warehousing or not, but we're being sued on something because we didn't have it in our zoning ordinance that we don't have it.
Well, Paul, actually, he brought it up at the planning board meeting, a good contribution from him to start looking into that. Because there are some areas in the township, I think, that could fit the bill for something like that, and we should get ahead of it.
Yeah, take the grant like they did for Bunville and utilize it to best of our ability. And even if we, you know, because we don't have it in our, I don't think we do have it in our land use ordinance.
What, warehousing?
Yeah.
No.
So, like I said, I don't really need the attorney to chime in on this, and he probably
we don't have the mega ones that you see in Phillips.
Right. But my point is it's actually in a lawsuit that I can talk about. That they said because it's not in our ordinance that you can presume that you can do it. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna have to.
I wonder if it's in our industrial area.
What? Anywhere. You mean in the ordinance, you mean? Those warehouses just started popping up. We may have littler warehouses in there.
Warehouses are warehouses. Yeah. You're saying maybe there's something in the industrial area.
We'll have to look it up.
Yeah, we got the money, and it's another thing to look into.
We literally just started looking into that at the Tuesday meeting, the first Tuesday of the month.
Airbnb, do we have any regulations on Airbnbs in our town? Because I'm not aware of any.
We don't really, and that's a subject that's going to come up soon, because I've been speaking with the zoning officer.
Yeah, there's a property.
It's not really clear enough, I don't believe.
So we're going to throw that ball over to the attorney and have him look into that and then give us advice, give the board some advice? Yeah. And why we're doing that, are we going to be also looking at generational housing? Because if you're going to bring in a family member and you want to put a second kitchen in, it's not allowed. So it's all part of that whole package with the issues that we have and just trying to get caught up. We're a little behind the curve on some of these things. We might as well just start getting them done.
I spoke with him, joint officer, Thursday, and that was one of the things that we discussed.
Like a mother-daughter type thing or situations like that?
Airbnb, yep.
Okay. Well, Airbnb is different than a mother-daughter, but it's all part of the...
Yep.
Okay. All right, thank you. That's all I got.
Okay. Any other public comment?
All of you.
Okay. All right, so.
Make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, with that, we're going to go into executive session to talk about resolution number 44-2023, potential land acquisition, potential litigation, contract matter. Can I get a motion?
And a personnel matter was added.
Oh, that's right. I don't have any. Yeah, okay.
Any action taken, maybe? No?
I don't think. No, there's not going to be action taken on any of this. Not tonight.